Good morning. Praise the Lord for this beautiful weekend. It's the calm before the storm, so get ready to embrace the winter months. This weekend, the bishop of our diocese, Bishop David Wachowiak, has asked us to read to all of the faithful a letter that he has written in regards to Proposition 3. So I'm going to do that at the end of my homily. So I'll just do a brief homily in reflection on the gospel readings, and then I'll share the bishop's words to the faithful. When I was in seminary, one of our priests, Father Paul Murray, he was this beautiful Irish Dominican. He was teaching us, and midway through his lecture, he looks up at us and he says, "It's great that you have joined seminary. It's wonderful that you're on this path to the priesthood and that you have said yes to God's invitation to become a priest. But how much more wonderful it would be when you join the human race." And I remember hearing those words and they stuck with me. How wonderful you joined seminary. How wonderful you're on this path of holiness. You're in this nice little community, living out your discipleship, but really how much more wonderful it will be once you join the human race. And he continued, "Because it is the human race that Jesus suffered and died for." See, there's always a temptation, especially for us faithful, those that are pursuing a life of holiness, to quickly begin to think it's us versus them. It's us who are baptized, us who are practicing the faith, us who come to Mass regularly versus them, the rest of the world, those sinners out there. We forget to realize that, as G.K. Chesterton beautifully put it, we're all in the same boat together, and we're all seasick. We're all in the same boat together, and we're all seasick. The retreat master for the Newman retreat had a wonderful line. He said, "What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that I know I need to be saved." What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that I know I need to be saved. Okay, what then does it mean to be a good Christian? It means I really know I need to be saved. See, don't we always play that game? Well, there's all those Catholics out there, but I'm a good Catholic. And what do we mean by that? Well, I go to Mass every Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation. And I pray the rosary quite frequently. I tithe. I do all these wonderful things. And so I'm a good Catholic compared to those bad Catholics out there. And see, how we then set up the whole kind of frame is that to be a good Catholic means I check off all of these boxes of things I'm supposed to do. The box of living a good moral life. The box of praying always. The box of attending Mass, right? It sounds more like a job than anything else. To be a good Christian means I really know I need to be saved. Why does a good Catholic attend Mass regularly? Every Sunday and every holy day of obligation. Why does a good Catholic tithe and do acts of charity for the poor to extend themselves to the rest of humanity? Because of one reason. Because they know they need to be saved. A good Catholic comes to Mass regularly because they need it. What's the distinction then between a good Christian and a bad Christian? A bad Christian doesn't really believe they need to be saved. And that's why they don't come to Mass regularly. That's why they don't participate in acts of charity and mercy. The distinction isn't about checking a list, but rather a deep recognition of my need of Jesus. Jesus' powerful parable should resonate with all of us. How do you pray? I love the little detail that the Pharisee, we hear, two people went to the temple. One was a Pharisee, the other the tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. He's not praying. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity. And then he goes on and says how wonderful he is. And that beautiful, powerful, guttural prayer of the tax collector, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We're all in the same boat together. We're all seasick. What does it mean to be a good Christian? To recognize I need to be saved. And it's in that place of lowliness where we get in touch humbly with the great need of my being, that I then authentically cry out to the Lord. And it's that authentic prayer that again comes from this place of dire need, the Lord hears. I think the greatest cry in our time, of the greatest need of our time, from the most lowly persons in our time, come from the unborn. Just re-listening to that first reading and hearing it in the context of the million of souls that cry out to us to help them really struck a chord with me. Listen to that first reading. The Lord is a God of justice. He knows no favorites. He hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. Who is the most humble? What cry is in most need during our time, in our generation, us living? The young babes in their mother's womb. Millions. Millions. And I promise you, that cry does not go unheard. That cry is the loudest cry that heaven hears. Why are we so deaf to it? With that, I wish to share with you Bishop David Wachowiak's words. Dated October 22nd, fittingly, that was the feast day of St. John Paul II, probably one of the greatest advocates of life. Dear friends in Christ, the Catechism tells us we have a duty to participate in public life and to contribute to the common good. Thus, it is vitally important that we choose to vote. When you head to the polls in just over 2 weeks, you will be asked whether the Michigan Constitution should be amended to allow, quote, reproductive freedom for all, end quote. This will appear on your ballot as Proposal 3. Proposal 3 would not be passed as a law. You are voting to change the Constitution. Once we have done that, it is extremely difficult to reverse or abolish. Based on multiple legal evaluations, Proposal 3 would allow abortion up until birth, allow minors to pursue abortions and sterilizations without parental notification or consent, exempt abortion facilities from safety regulations, allow anyone to perform an abortion, even if they don't have a medical license, prohibit the state from prosecuting a person who injures or causes the death of a woman during an abortion. All of these sensible measures to regulate abortion would be abolished. The ramifications of Proposal 3 are profoundly troubling. If it passes, Michigan will have one of the most extreme abortion laws in the world, similar to China and North Korea. Is this what we want for our children and for Michigan's future? Michigan women and children deserve better. We must reject this radical proposal by voting no on Proposal 3. The Catholic Church will continue to accompany and care for pregnant women in need of emotional, spiritual, or physical support. We will also care for their children, born and unborn. Join me in praying that this proposal does not pass. May the Holy Spirit guide us as we head to the voting booth on Election Day. Sincerely, yours in Christ, Most Reverend David J. Wachowiak, Bishop of Grand Rapids. Now, I know the theme of abortion is one we never want to talk about. I know it's one that everyone feels very uncomfortable, and rightfully so. It's a sad reality. Who wants to talk about it? But there's only one way to get rid of it. Talk about it. Talk about it from the ambo. Talk about it in your families. Talk about it at work. We love to play this game. Sweep the issue under the rug. Name it abortion or women's rights. And then say it's political. Once it's political, it's off topic. But it's not a political issue. It's murder. It's a moral issue. The last thing. If we lived in Nazi Germany, would you be upset if the priest was preaching to end the Nazi regime? Of course not. Would you say it's a political issue? They were a political party. Of course not. Because you realize it's a moral issue because people were being murdered. It's the same thing. Now let me conclude with this. I began by saying, it's not us versus them. It's not good people versus bad people. Good Christians versus bad Christians. We're all in the same boat together, and we're all seasick. It's about recognizing all of us need a Savior. Humanity needs a Savior. As we come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive our living Lord, open wide your hearts to receive life himself, that you may be a bold voice for the voiceless.
there. It's nice.